Nancy Baldwin will come forward and be our scripture reader for today. Remind you that you can sign up, and we're going to keep an extra copy of the scripture up here if anyone ever forgets or be there maybe in a little longer.
Good morning. The scripture today is Matthew 20, 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired the last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Bless the reading of the scripture.
Some years back, there was an anonymous dialogue on the internet. It was aimed at parents. I could have said this for Mother or Father's Day, but it went like this. Whenever your children are out of control, you can take comfort in the thought that even God's omnipotence did not extend to his own children. After creating heaven and earth, God created Adam and Eve. And one of the first things God said was, "Don't." Adam says, "Don't what?" "Don't eat the forbidden fruit." Forbidden fruit? You mean we've got forbidden fruit? Hey, Eve, we've got forbidden fruit. Eve, "No way." "Yes way." God says, "Do not eat the forbidden fruit." Adam and Eve ask in union, "Why?" "Because I am your father and I said so." Wondering why he hadn't stopped creation after creating the elephants. A few minutes later, God saw his children having an apple break. "Didn't I tell you not to eat the fruit?" Yeah. "Then why did you do it?" "The serpent made me do it." That was Eve's response. She started it, Adam said. "Did not." "Did too." "Did not." Having had it with the two of them, God's punishment was that Adam and Eve should have children of their own. Thus the pattern was set, and it has never, ever ended. But there's another kind of squabble that is universal. If you're around children very much, or you have multiple children in your household, or you grew up with brothers and sisters, one declaration that you're surely going to hear sooner or later is, "That's not fair." Every parent has heard the anguished cries, "Her piece of cake is bigger than my piece of cake. I want one just like Johnny's." "You love him better than you love me." It's the oldest contention in society. "That's not fair." Remember Adam and Eve's two boys, Cain and Abel? They brought their offering to God. For some reason, God accepted Abel's offering, but did not accept Cain's offering. "That's not fair," Cain thought in his heart, and resulting in anger was the source of humanity's, unfortunately, very first recorded murder. We hear it not only among our children, but among adults as well. "That's not fair." That's one of the reasons we have lawyers and judges, and if things get out of hand, we have police. It's the reason why some families are split after reading of a will. It's why some people will always feel victimized in our society, crying out, life isn't fair. At every layer of society, there's someone complaining, that's just not fair. Jesus told a parable about a landowner who went out into the early morning about 6 o'clock to hire workers for his vineyard. This was common practice in that part of the world, particularly during the harvest of the grapes. Storms could easily ruin the crop, and it was important to get the crop in quickly as possible. So for a time, anyone who wanted a job could find a job. The work was hard, working hours from dawn to sunset, which probably meant about a 12-hour day in the fields. And the wage was a standard one, a denarius, or a silver coin for a full day's work. A denarius could buy a family what they needed to stay alive, really no more or no less. It was not a lot of money. So a day's work and a full day's wage were essential for survival, to be able to eat. During the harvest, men who wanted to work could go to the marketplace and stand around and wait for someone to hire them. They could work the 12 hours and they would be paid at the end of the day so that each man would go home with money to buy food for that day for his family. If a man was unable to find work on a particular day, then his family may not be able to eat. If he found work for only a part of the day, they might be able to buy food, but not really enough to satisfy or to fill them up or to give them the nourishment that they really need. So this is not only about fairness. For some reason, for some of these workers, it is about the very act of survival. That helps explain some of the dynamics of the story, I think. The landowner went at 6 in the morning to hire workers. He agreed to pay these workers a fair wage, a standard wage, which was a denarius for that day's work. About 9 in the morning, he went back to the marketplace and saw some other men standing around doing nothing. So he said, obviously, there were their jobs available. He told them, go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. And about 5 in the afternoon, the final hour it would be, he went out and found others standing around and he told them to come work in his vineyard too. So from 6 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon, he's hiring workers. Now when quitting time came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first that were hired. Now the workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. Can you imagine how happy these men were? A full day's wages for 1 hour's work. Not a bad deal. They would be able to feed their family, pay their bills. Maybe they could keep the bank from foreclosing on their home. How in the world, under such circumstances, should they be hiding the joy and the happiness that they feel? Yet, this created a problem. When those who were hired first came to be paid and they knew how generous the landowner had been with those who had worked only an hour, they expected some type of bonus. Think about this not as a denarius for just a minute, but think if standing out, you're one of the workers, and they're paying, let's say, $10 an hour. And you start at 6 in the morning, and you work to 6 in the evening. You expect to be paid $120. But if you come in at 3, or you come in at 5, and then the boss at the end of the day not only says pay them first, but pay them a full day's wages, go ahead and give them the $120 also. So everybody that worked during that day got the exact same wage. Can you imagine the disappointment of some of those workers that started early in the morning thinking, well, he paid these workers first who only worked an hour and they got a whole $120. We're probably getting paid last because we're going to get a bonus. Maybe we'll get $150 for the day. They began to grumble. Those who hired worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, have borne the burden of the sun and the work all day long. But the landowner answered one of them, "I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius, or let's just say $120 for the day? Take your pay and go. I want to give to the ones who were hired last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want to do with my money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Then Jesus added these cryptic words, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Now this is a parable, I believe, of the generosity of God. God pours out His grace full and completely to all who will receive it, who will open their hearts to it. We have labored in the vineyard as Christians, maybe 40, 50, 60 years, and then someone comes in at the end and they join the church and they're going to get the same blessings as we get? Does that seem fair? They get to go to heaven when I've been a Christian for 60 years and they've been a Christian for a week and then they pass away or on their deathbed? Does that seem fair? But God pours out His grace without reservation and without regard to those who deserve it and those who don't deserve it. Because in actuality, none of us really deserve the gift of salvation. Grace exceeds everything we could ever hope for, everything that we could expect from God. If I have a great deal of money and I buy a piece of property on the beach, and I would love to do that. First front row house. Open up the windows here in the ocean. But if you buy a house on the beach next to mine, maybe my house and my property is a little better than yours. But we're on the ocean, and we're looking out at that ocean, that vast expanse of water that covers a good part of the world. I might can buy this piece of land, but no one can buy the ocean. Grace is far greater than any ocean. Its depth, its width, its power. Grace is poured out in infinite quantities on you and me, and it is totally unearned. Whether we have labored for Christ for 50 years or 50 minutes, you still, if you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, get grace and the promise of eternal life. All we have to do to receive God's grace is to open up our hearts to it and be receptive of what God is doing for us. And some people, it doesn't seem fair, but it's a fact. No wonder it's called amazing grace. Writer Philip Yancey tells about an incident that occurred a few years ago. Journalist Bill Moyer created a documentary based on the song, the hymn Amazing Grace. And one of the most unusual things seen in the film took place at a massive benefit concert in England. All the fans have been blasted with hard rock all day long. Their type of music, all excited. Strangely, the concert organizers scheduled an opera singer, Jesse Norman, to close out the day's music festivities. Doesn't make sense. But fans reacted negatively, were booing. But when she took the stage and she started to sing, this middle-aged black woman without any backup band, just her voice, after they'd been listening to all that hard rock all day long, she silenced the crowds with her opening line, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And soon thousands of rock people who listen to that rock music, rock fans, were singing Amazing Grace along with her. It's been said that there are more people who know the words to Amazing Grace by heart than know our national anthem. And I don't doubt that. That would not surprise me at all. Now, many of you saw the movie that came out in 1990, a very powerful, moving movie entitled Saving Private Ryan. It's about an invasion of Normandy in World War II. And I think Reverend Ken Obstock has summed up this movie very, very beautifully. The movie opens with an elderly man walking through a cemetery perched on the hills of Normandy Beach where the Allied troops landed on D-Day. He approaches a grave at the cemetery and kneels down before it and begins to weep. Suddenly the movie jumps back 54 years to the day of the invasion. And for the next 20 minutes, we watch one of the most horrifying war scenes ever filmed. Some 5,000 Allied troops were killed or wounded on the beaches of Normandy that day. And it seems like the movie shows every one of them in grotesque horror, anguishing personal detail. Finally, a beachhead is established, and for a moment, the troops are now safe. Then the real plot of the movie begins. 8 soldiers who survived the invasion are sent to rescue an American paratrooper named Ryan, who was dropped behind enemy lines. They go through harrowing experiences to find him. When they find him, several men lose their lives trying to rescue him. The last one killed is the captain of the unit, played by Tom Hanks. As he dies, he says to Private Ryan, "Earn this." At that moment, the movie switches back to the gray-haired man at the cemetery. And all of us, we realize that we're looking at Private Ryan. Now, in his 70s, he's kneeling before the grave of his captain. Slowly he stands up, turns to his wife, and says, "Tell me that I'm a good person." His wife is puzzled. She does not understand the question why he's asking this. But we who've been watching the movie understand it completely. We have the insight as to what is going on. He is asking her, "Tell me that my life has been worth saving. Tell me that I have fulfilled the purpose for which the captain gave his life." I think that's how many of us feel about our lives. We know that God's grace is free. Many of us understand that we have done nothing to deserve the grace, the salvation, the promise of eternal life that we have been given through Jesus Christ. And we know it cost Christ his life, a horrible crucifixion. And we hunger in our hearts to think that our lives live in response to his self-giving act of love, his death on the cross. And we hunger in our hearts to think that our lives lived in response to that act have meant something, that we somehow are worthy of the salvation. You know, amazing grace. It's really not fair if you think about it. It's just not. It's simply unbelievably generous. And I thank God for it. So I wonder, if God wasn't so generous, would I myself have salvation? Would you have salvation? All of you or anyone has to do is open up to God's free gift. Say, "Christ, come into my life. I ask for your forgiveness. Be my Lord and my Savior." And you have the promise of eternal life, beginning here on this earth and then for eternity in heaven. If you have been saved, thank God for his generosity. May God bless you. Amen.